Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Live Beyond podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and today I am here with Dr. Vanderpool, and we are continuing the Living Missional series. This is going to be the sixth episode in the series, so I highly recommend you going and listening to the other five. They're absolutely incredible. Dr. V, would you mind explaining kind of your desire behind the series and what kind of made you think of it?
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on today. This is fantastic. You know, we've brought some 6,000 people down to Haiti on short-term missions over the last 10 years or so. And, you know, these people just have an outstanding time. They all are just pumped up. They really enjoy their week down there. But we get a lot of questions, and usually it's on the Thursday before they leave, they start thinking about what are they going to do when they get home? And we get that question a lot. And so this study, this Bible study, has come from that question, what do you do when you get home? Mm-hmm. You know, it's really pretty obvious what needs to be done when you go to a place like Haiti. It's a tough place. You know, they need so much. You could almost start anywhere and you're going to be fine. When you go back to the richest country the world has ever seen, it's a little harder. And mm-hmm. So this podcast came out of that question, is how do I live missionally back in the States?
Mm, that's so good. So what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today we're sort of merging two concepts. One is gratitude, so developing gratitude, and the other is developing contentment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at first blush, they don't seem to have a lot in common, but I think as we start to dig into this concept of living missionally, one of the things that is so important is that we have both gratitude and contentment to be able to work in places where we're serving other people.
Wow. I'm excited about today because that might be something I need to work on a little bit. So.
I know I need to work on it. So that's why we're doing it. Maybe I get better.
I love it. Okay. So what is the secret to being content?
You know, I think that's a great question. And there is a secret. It's not totally secret, but a lot of us don't really realize it. You know, and gratitude isn't something we hear a lot about these days. Mm. You know, it's all about me. It's my, you know, we've got lots of hate and divisiveness, you know, in our country and really throughout the world right now. You know, we have opposing political views. We have hatred for disparity and outcomes in life and just, you know, you name it. And there is so much divisiveness. And I think that we'll see that the Bible really teaches the opposite of that. Jesus taught us to love each other, to love one another, even our enemies. So the people we don't agree with, perhaps they've wronged us, those people we're called to love. Mm. And he teaches us to give more of ourselves than even we're asked. You know, he says, if someone asks for your coat, give him your cloak too. Mm. And if someone asks you to go with them 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And I think that that is one of the keys that we're going to see that we need to develop when we're living missionally. Another scripture that I just love is Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. And this is Paul talking, and he's talking about how he's had a pretty tough life. Mm. You know, you look at some of the passages that he writes, and he has really had a tough life. But he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance that I'm in. I know both how to have a little, and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. And so this is what I'd like to talk about today, is this secret of being content and what that really means.
Mm, that sounds so good. Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this secret.
Well, you know, the next verse, in the 13th verse of chapter 4, he really answers the question. And it's a little bit tricky. He doesn't just say it right outright, but he says, I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So I think he's answering his question there. The secret of contentment is knowing where our strength comes from. Mm-hmm. So for us to live missionally, we've got to grasp the idea that being thankful for what we've been given is important, and to be content in whatever situation. Mm. You know, I know me, for one, I do not have this. You know, he says when he's hungry or whether he's well fed, he's happy. Well, when I'm hungry, I ain't happy. And so I cannot relate to Paul at all. I know I need to really improve in that area. So being hungry definitely sets me off. Something I've got to work on. But you know, when we know that God gives us the strength to face every challenge, you know, it really changes the way we interact with people. Mm. You know, we're not looking to our own strength, our own talents. We're looking to God to supply us with the strength, you know, for these interactions. And so, you know, when we're in an environment where we are wanting to develop the idea of living missionally, we're serving each other. And that really does zap our strength. There's nothing that takes it out of you more, than serving others. But God gives us that strength. Mm-hmm. And so there's a level of gratitude towards God because he gives us that strength. Having that gratitude is really important. But I think that is the link to contentment right there. It doesn't really matter. You know, if we're in Haiti, it's 100 degrees. Maybe we're having hurricanes or earthquakes. Maybe there is violence. Maybe we've suffered violence. That's still a chance for us to be content, even in those situations, because God gives us that strength.
Mm, that's good. So what can we expect from a life of gratitude?
You know, a life of gratitude, can you imagine living a life that you just are thankful for everything that you get? Mm. That's a completely different outlook, you know, from the way most of us operate.
I got work to do.
And I think, that's right, it makes you realize, ooh. You know, and I think one of the things that Paul says back in that Philippians 4:11, he says, I have learned to be content. Mm. That being content is something that we learn how to do. And, you know, honestly, he gives a history of what he's been through. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. You know, he's been cast at sea. He's been almost killed several times. And yet he is saying, I have learned how to be content in every situation that he's been in. And so I think we need to look at this as a learned trait. It's not something that we are just born with. We pop out and we are just fat, dumb, and happy. It's not that at all. You know, we have to learn through our situations, the hard ones and the not so hard ones, that we can be content. So being on that learning path where you're up against something that's hard in your life, and you view it as a learning situation. Mm. You don't view it as it's a smackdown and boy, this is going to hurt. And I'm not even sure if I can make it. You don't look at it that way because you know God gives you the strength. You look at it as purely a chance to learn contentment. Wow. You know, that's a totally different twist on how we usually will live. So the life of gratitude, one of the things that we can expect is we don't worry about anything. Mm. Why worry if you know all of your strength comes from God? There's really no stress at that point. You know, we can put everything on him. He says, bring me all of your requests, I'll let them be known, you know, and I will grant them if they're within his will. That's a huge deal. Mm. So we don't even have to worry. So one of the things I think that we can expect to develop from a life of gratitude is we will not have worry.
Mm, I think that's good. Especially when you can kind of have the inverse, that when you start worrying, you can know that the Lord's going to give you strength, and so you can not worry, you know? So it's kind of this nice reminder. I know when I'm not content, my first inclination is not to be grateful for something, but what a good lesson is if I think, you know, I'm not very happy with where I am right now. Start listing off all the things that you are grateful for, and it changes your perspective. So
it really does. That's what he says in the Sermon on the Mount. Mm-hmm. You know, when he says, don't worry. Why do you worry? You know, the sparrows don't worry. The flowers don't worry. And, you know, they have beautiful, arraignment, and they have food. Why do we worry? Because mm-hmm. God loves us, and he wants us to be content. You know, one of the things I think is a great object lesson, we've raised three children, and Laurie, my wife, is just a fabulous mother.
Mm-hmm.
Watching her with little babies, she can calm a baby better than anybody I think I've ever seen. And it's because she's calm. You know, when the mom is calm, the baby sees that and becomes calm. And so she's able to take a crying baby, and within minutes, the baby will be laughing and content. You know, we see that in our new grandson. My daughter-in-law, Devin, is a wonderful mother. And so our new little guy, he's 3 months old. He can be hungry, and when he's hungry, he lets everybody know about it. And it just doesn't take any time at all for her to calm him down and have him completely content. And that's a sign of a good mom and one who's very content herself.
Mm, absolutely. So tell me a little bit more about some of these lessons that Paul has learned.
You know, I think that when Paul says he's learned through his circumstances, you know, one of the things that he had was peace. Mm-hmm. And peace is something that the Lord gives us. I mean, it's actually, a fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit will give us. And, you know, it's interesting to me that probably peace is the one of the things that is most sorely missed by people. Mm-hmm. You know, I was sort of looking through some research recently, and I found that the second leading cause of death in 10 to 34-year-olds in the United States is suicide.
Mm.
You know, that is just so tragic, so, so sad. And, you know, it just, I can't imagine the lack of peace someone would have to commit suicide, that they would think that is the only way out. And they've had very little time, you know, they're young. They've had very little time to develop circumstances where they can learn contentment. Very few life experiences, you know, by then. But it's just amazing that the Holy Spirit gives us peace. He gives us that calming. He gives us that contentment that we can learn in our circumstances. You know, one of the things that that Paul promises in this passage in Philippians 4:6, you know, he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, this idea of God guarding our hearts and minds, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so often we can get, you know, so aggravated just because of where we let our minds go.
Mm.
And it would just be so amazing if we had a guard on that, where we could just, you know, wait, don't go there. We're going to stop. Let's not think about that. That person cut you off in traffic. But you don't need to have your little conversation with yourself about what you're going to do to him because he cut in traffic, right? You know, the Holy Spirit will guard our hearts and our minds. So he'll keep us from going down paths that are not peaceful. And what an amazing promise that is. And I think this is an outgrowth of having a life of gratitude and commitment. Contentment, you know, is having the ability to have a guard around our heart and minds so that we can control that.
That's very important, because I'm pretty sure I get my feelings hurt 9 times out of 10 by having imaginary arguments with
I think everybody is like that.
To take it down a path that was completely unnecessary. I need that guard.
Right, right. It's no telling how much time we waste talking to ourselves, isn't it?
I can get so riled up.
Right, right.
Okay, so why is living a life of gratitude so important for living a missional lifestyle?
You know, it really is key. You know, other people can sense if you're living a life of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And people are attracted to people who are gracious, who are thankful, you know, who are content. You know, babies do well with them, but so do big babies.
So, adult babies.
You know, this is adult babies, that's right. I think this is something that is so attractive. And one of the passages that I really love about this is 2 Corinthians 4:15. And it says, "Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that grace extended through more and more people may cause thanksgiving to increase to God's glory." You know, that's an amazing passage to think that if we live lives, graceful, thankful lives, peaceful lives, that it increases God's glory. You know, what better thing to have on your resume? You know, you're filling out your resume, you went to this school, that school, well, and I increased God's glory. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, and that ought to be something that all of us would strive for, whatever our job is. Wow, what an amazing job description to have is that you're one who increases God's glory. So that's something that's going to be something that we're going to get, that we're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to increase God's glory by being a gracious, content individual. You know, another passage that talks a lot about this is 2 Corinthians 9:11, and this is a fabulous passage. It's one we could spend a whole series on. But this is one that he says, "You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. They will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others through the proof provided by this service." You know, so what he's saying is that the Lord enriches us so that we can give to other people, that generosity that the Lord engenders in us, that those riches that he gives us, they're not for us to keep. These are things for us to distribute to the people who are needy, because what it does is it makes people thank God for it. You know, we see this all the time in Haiti. You know, we have payroll. You know, every time we have payroll, we're handing out money. It's got the people's names on it. They've worked for this money, right? I mean, this is something that they are owed. They work 40 hours a week, and at the end of the period, they get a payroll. Almost without exception, the people will be handing out their little bundles of money for their payroll. The people will come up and say, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm giving it to them. Why are they thinking me?" Well, the reason they're not thinking me is because they know where it really came from, that came from the Lord. I was just distributing it, so why thank me, right? So here are people living out this passage they're supplying the needs of the saints, and it's overflowing with thanksgiving to God. So some things that I think we can expect by living a contented life that is, you know, full of gratitude is that we'll be enriched in every way. That's what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 9, that we will be enriched in every way, but it's for a specific purpose. It's for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God. So we'll be enriched so that we can give to others. Mm. You know, we'll supply needs, but our works, the works that we do, make others give thanks to God. So if we are there and we're providing clean water, or we're providing medical care, or nutritional support, something like that, the people are going to see that and they're going to thank God. And we see that all the time. And God is glorified through our obedience. So when we are living out a lifestyle of gratitude and contentment, these are the kind of things that we can see in our own lives.
Mm. I like that. I need that reminder when I see my paycheck. So how do we develop a lifestyle of gratitude?
Well, I think that's a great question. And, you know, it is something that we need to learn. We need to learn this contentment. Mm-hmm. We need to learn gratitude. We need to learn how to walk in this so that every interaction that we have shows that this is a lifestyle choice for us. And Colossians 3:16, it's a passage that we know well, but it's got some hidden things in it that are just wonderful. What Paul says in this passage is, "Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So I think that one of the things that is so important is that the message about Jesus truly dwells with us, that we are thinking about the gospel message of Jesus. We're letting it come into our being. It's part of us, that as we're interacting with people, what we're showing them is Jesus' gospel, and it's dwelling richly in us. And so it's overflowing in us. And so as we consider the sacrifice of Jesus, and when we consider the blessings of Jesus' life, when we consider what the gospel message is all about, I think that is a key for us to start this lifestyle of gratitude. Another thing that Paul says in Colossians 4, he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with thanksgiving." And so not only do we need to be meditating on the life of Jesus, meditating on the gospel message, but we also need to be devoting ourselves to prayer. This is something that God will give us. If we ask him for peace, we ask him for contentment, we ask him for a lifestyle of gratitude, these are all things that are in his will, and he will give that to us. So these are the kinds of things that I think we can expect, you know, as we develop and we learn how to live a lifestyle of contentment and gratitude.
I think that's so good.
So just sort of in summary, when we're thinking about living a life of contentment and a lifestyle of gratitude, you know, the things that we'll see in our lives, we'll see that we'll be enriched, but we'll be enriched so that we'll be generous, not for our own gain. We'll be enriched so that other people will give thanks to God. You know, we'll live a life without worry. We literally will not have to worry about anything because we know that our strength comes from God. It doesn't come from us. and that we will see that we increase God's glory. And what an amazing goal to have, to live a life, a lifestyle of gratitude, so that we increase God's glory among everybody that we meet.
Mm-hmm. Well, just what a great perspective shift, too. You know, it takes all of our perspective off of ourselves, of caring about what happens to us and how we feel, and instead puts gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts and puts the perspective on Jesus. And I mean, just what a great reminder.
It really is. It really is.
I think that's fantastic.
If I can only do it, that would be the great part.
This is a work in progress.
Work in progress. Yeah. That's right.
We'll have a follow-up interview in about 7 years to see how this progress
how
has been made.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a teaching. This isn't something that we've developed yet.
This is we're linking arms together, not I'm already right there. Let me show you how to do it.
Exactly.
Oh, I love funny. It. Well, I really, really have enjoyed this lesson. And honestly, every single one of the lessons in this series have been massively convicting. I think that this is just a really good one, especially considering everything that's going on in the world right now. It's been easy to be worried and, you know, focus kind of on our situations rather than having a broader focus and putting our perspective on Jesus. And mm-hmm. I just think that this is very timely and appropriate and something that we can all strive to do better. So thank
absolutely
you.
And there's a lot of stress. You know, Paul listed right. the things that, you know, he had been shipwrecked, had been cast at sea, had been beaten, all this kind of stuff. He had not been in a pandemic. And so we do have that on him.
We can one-up
maybe
him
when
on
we
that
get
one.
That's right. When we get to heaven, we can say, hey, yeah, well, we had a pandemic, right?
Well, let me know but when you're shipwrecked. So.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I think that this has been wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you.
But before we finish, like always, we want to chat a little bit about your book. So
absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the Live Beyond story, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve, that you can get on Amazon or at livebeyond.org.
You know, a lot of questions that we get, how did we go from a surgeon practicing general surgery in the United States, basically just, you know, following the American dream. How did we leave that and get to Haiti? You know, that's a pretty big step. And so we wrote this book to sort of describe our journey, showed where the Lord had led us throughout the years, the different countries we've worked in, the things that we've learned in those countries, and then how the Lord really changed our hearts. Mm-hmm. And led us to the people in Haiti and beyond. And so this is a book that just talks about that journey, how we, you know, we got rid of most of our material possessions, how wonderful that is. Talk about not having to worry about a whole lot. We don't have anything that needs fixing. That's sort of nice, you know. But to divesting ourselves of material possessions in order to serve the Lord more fully. Maybe that's another podcast. But that's what this book is about. And we'd love for you to go to Amazon and check the book out, purchase it, give it to your friends. It'd make a great Christmas present coming up. So please do that.
Well, I have a question for you tying into this episode. You know, you had just mentioned that you were kind of living the American dream, everything that everyone could ever want. So my question for you is, since divesting yourself of the American dream and moving to Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and, you know, living kind of outrageous circumstances, where were you more content between the two?
Oh, great question. By far now. By far. And we did. We had everything that anybody would want. You know, nice house, nice cars, a great education, great friends. And we left all of that. Mm. And, you know, it's interesting. I wondered at the time, you know, when we were getting rid of everything, it's a lot of work to get rid of your stuff, by the way. A lot of people don't want it, and that sort of hurts your feelings, you know. But, you know, I was thinking, I was sort of projecting into the future and saying, you know, am I going to miss this? I mean, I had a wonderful guitar collection and things that I really enjoyed, hobbies and things like that. And I wondered, am I going to miss this? And the answer is absolutely not. I don't miss it at all. It's the Lord has just filled us up with Him. And the time we used to spend on the hobbies and the work and the house and all that stuff is now devoted to Him. And so both of us are very content with where we are. And in fact, we're trying to get rid of more things. We're trying to get down to where we have just almost nothing, just for the glory of God. And it's a really neat path for us that we're on right now.
Well, and I know whenever you're not in Haiti, you miss it. You know, you're dying to get back. So
I
love that. I think that that's a true testament to, you know, when you're obedient to the Lord, He doesn't have to do this, but He blesses you and He makes you, I mean, just, that's just the kindness, I think, of the Lord is He takes you through trials and they're hard and they're tough lessons, but He blesses you so immensely, you know, through them and at the end of them that it's hard not to want to continue following Him anywhere. So
that's right. Absolutely.
That's good. Well, thank you so much. That was an incredible, incredible lesson, incredible episode. So we really, really appreciate it. If you are wanting to learn a little bit more about Live Beyond or perhaps buy the book or 15, you can go online to livebeyond.org and you can check out all the incredible ways that we have had the opportunity to partner with the Lord and Tomaso Haiti and some of the exciting things that we have, Lord willing, coming up in the future. So please go on and check that out. And if it's been put on your heart, you can absolutely donate. We have some incredible programs, and we are just really, really excited to share those with you. That is it for this episode. We will be having episode 7 in our Living Missionally series come out next week. So please keep an eye out for that. But that is it. Go out and live beyond.